Good morning, and welcome to worship here at First Presbyterian Church. I'm delighted to see smiling faces here. And to those of you in our vast broadcast audience, we welcome you. If you will turn online to the church's Facebook page, you will find instructions on how to get our bulletin so that you can follow along with worship and sing along with us as we glorify God. If you're here, let's review some of the announcements that are important. At the end of today's worship service, we'll have a congregational meeting to vote on elders for the class of 23 through 25. And you see there, Laura, Leanna, and Susan have been nominated by the nominating committee. Then following our vote, we'll go upstairs and have lunch together. If you've made reservations, great. If you haven't, I bet we can put water in the soup and include you. So please think about that. The artwork on the front of your bulletin we'll talk about in detail, but I thank Nancy Hallsworth for applying her talents so skillfully. Next week we'll have Commitment Sunday when we talk about our giving to the church and our estimates of giving for the upcoming year. Someone said, "Why are you not wearing a robe today?" And it goes back to my days when, as an active pastor, my salary depended upon what you gave. I wanted to communicate today that I'm one of you. So when I ask for money, I am equally as in need of hearing as I am of speaking. So hanging of the greens next week, too, and pizza to entice you to stay and help us decorate for the Advent season. If you want to know more about Wayne Alderman, that would be few of you, but anyway, we'll gather at the pub on Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock, and I hope you can join us there. If you haven't picked up one of the wonderful history books that's right outside the door in the Commons, I hope you'll do that. Let me say of Catherine, who organized and edited and did this book, she is absolutely one of our best sellers. Are there better announcements to be made? Yes, Catherine. Yes, in the parlor we have left up a very impressive exhibit of our history. Tokens, pictures, various items of real significance back there, going back all 175 years. So if you haven't walked through, you'll be missing something if you don't. Other announcements to be made. Then let us share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all. Make your neighbor feel welcome. Thanks for your help.
Please stand for the call to worship. Call from worship this morning comes from Psalm 124 and 118. Our help is in the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us pray. God of all glory, on this first day you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. On this first day you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ out of the darkness of death. On this Lord's day, grant that we, the people you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Have mercy on us, O God, in your loving kindness, in your great compassion. Cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Amen. As God's forgiven people, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Be always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven you. And above everything else, be loving. And never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for you. With hearts grateful for God's mercies, and in keeping with the examples of the teachings of Jesus, we make it our collective purpose to love first, love all. Amen.
The children come forward. Good morning, good morning. The Christmas season is coming up, Thanksgiving first and then Christmas. And something you're going to see when you go with your parents to the grocery store is a bell ringer and somebody collecting money for the Salvation Army. They stand at a red kettle, and they ring their bell, and when people give them money, sometimes coins, sometimes dollars, that money goes to help people who wouldn't have any turkey at Thanksgiving or might not have any presents at Christmas, or more basically even, might not have heat in their homes or gas to drive to school. It can be really tough unless we share with other people. Now, our church is being invited to help ring the bell and collect money. And so I want you to be ready if your family decides to do that. So which one of you wants to ring the bell? Hannah, you want to ring the bell? Okay, we can take turns. Hannah, you take this. Haynes, you come stand right here, okay? Now turn around and face everybody. Come on, Hannah. It's okay. You hold this, okay? Now, the idea is that when we ring the bell, people who are coming into the store, the grocery store where we'll be, if they hear the bell, they'll say, oh, I need to share with other people. And so you'll attract them. Not everybody will give, but a lot of people will. Okay, you kind of get the idea what we're going to do? Let's see if it would work. Why don't you ring the bell? Ring it real loud. Oh, look. Oh, there's somebody. Now, when somebody gives you something, you always say, Merry Christmas. Can you say that?
Merry Christmas.
There we go. There we go. Merry Christmas. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Ah, what do you say? You too. You too. Excellent. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. All right, now, you did it so well. Do you think they got it? Okay, I think they're qualified to. Oh, look here. Wonderful. Lena, well done. Thank you. All right, all right. So you got it. Remind these people now. It's easy enough. child's play, as it were. When the dates are announced, let's take a turn. Each of us, we have 2 days that we're going to ring this year, and it'll be great for us to do that.
Daddy.
All right, he'll get that in a minute. Let's have our prayer together, okay? Oh, look here. Can you tell him? There we go. There we go. Excellent. Excellent. All right, let's have our prayer together, okay? I'll pray and you join with me. Dear God, in the coming holiday season, when we hear the bell or count our blessings, let us be willing to share. To show the way. Jesus loves everybody. Amen. Very good. I'll keep those. Thank you for your help. You did good.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For
morning. There's an old movie with a soundtrack that ended up a pretty popular song that asked the question, what's it all about, Alfie? Some of you may remember that, and that's the age-old question, isn't it? What's it all about? Why are we here? Science tells us that every action causes a reaction. Theology might say every action causes a response. And God is the great actor. He is the initiator, the creator. And we respond, hopefully, with a sense of awe and reverence and thanksgiving. And part of that thanksgiving, I think, is a call to be a good steward. And to me, stewardship just means taking good care of what we have been entrusted with. We want to take good care of our families. We want them to thrive. We want to take care of our homes. We don't want the roof to fall in on our head. We want to take care of our community. Humankind was not made to be alone. We are social beings. And on a more basic level, I think we want to take care of our bodies so that we have good health. And beyond that, we want to look inside at the spirit. We want to nurture the soul. We want to discover anew the God of creation, the God of hope, and the God of promise. We want to continue to learn about and how best to follow the revelation, the best revelation we have of what God is like. And we see that in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So where better to facilitate that journey than right here with fellow travelers at First Presbyterian? Either with choir buddies, with Sunday school discussions, with Bible studies, or right here in Sunday morning worship as we fellowship and seek how best to follow God. We want to be good stewards of all our blessings, and we want to share what we know about God's love so other folks can experience that same love as we know it. We should be ambassadors for Christ. We need to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in the world today. That's why I like to support First Presbyterian, because there's strength in unity of purpose. There's strength for us individually, come what may, and there's strength collectively as we remember that all of us are blessed to be a blessing. May it ever be so.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us remain seated as we sing hymn 451. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
The end of that anthem makes me think of how music so often cascades from the balcony upon us, thanks to the choir and to Adam. The next passage comes from Matthew. It is the source of the quote upon the front of your bulletin. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits. This is the word of the Lord. Stewardship season. No doubt in the fall, because our ancestors raised crops, and when they were asked to donate, they did so from their herds and from the things they grew. Thus, the church and the body of faith was sustained, and the economy and all those who participated went on about life. And we continue that in this season of harvest, thinking together ahead about God and his blessings and how we hope to participate, to support in the year just ahead of us. Sometimes we emphasize time and talent equally, but our church is so good about sharing talents, hence Nancy's wonderful artwork, and as you look around, all the talents that are shared by liturgists who participate, by those who provide flowers, those who do banners and paraments. We're a great church about pooling our time and talents on behalf of God's work here. Today, I want to talk more about treasure, about the need for all of us to be financially involved in what goes on. This is not always an easy topic, either for ministers or for lay people. I had a good friend who was part of a follow-up campaign. This was a medium-sized church in Atlanta. After Commitment Sunday and several other Sundays had passed by, we sent out teams 2x2, which has a nice biblical ring, to call on those families from whom we had not heard. It's a common practice in churches to stay in touch with people. My friend Nick was exactly the kind of person you would want to go. Genuine in heart, easy with people, personable with any situation. He and his partner pulled into the driveway that night and hit the family dog with their car. Let me say, it won't be as hard to talk to you about money as it was for Nick and his friend. I want to emphasize several things about participation. Ministers always do this, don't they? They like alliteration. Full participation, fair, farsighted, family, and fruitful for participation. That's where we're going to go in these brief remarks. Full participation. 10 years ago, when we found ourselves on the curb and were trying to reform ourselves as a church, I was asked to speak, and I told the story. When I was a child, Little League began in Dalton. I was part of the first team, the Presbyterian Blue Hose. Really, White Sox, Red Sox, Blue Hose. Nevertheless, the Blue Hose fought with spirit, and every year that I played, we finished second. Because we did not have the power hitters, Kelly McCutcheon, not the one our age, but his father, lawyer here and athlete at the university, was the coach of the team, and we tried mightily, and we finished second, not lacking in his spirit. He would always get in the coach's box at third base, be a batter, be a batter, be a batter, hands clapping, and if we ever made contact with the ball, it would be go, 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 just propelling us down the first baseline. And should we ever round third, he was like a windmill, come on, come on, come on, come on. You get the picture. So, second place finishes 2 or 3 years in a row, and then we graduated to Pony League. Now, the Pony League did not have a stadium with a fence. It was just a field, still exists out on Morris Street. There, we had a backstop, and we had base pads worn in the grass and something of a pitcher's mound, but there was no fence. What that meant was that our team, lacking in power, could simply back up now and catch the long fly balls that other teams hit. And blessed with speed, when we hit a ball, because there was no fence to stop it, a single could be a double, a triple, even a home run if it was hard enough hit. So now, suddenly, we won the pennant. Not because we had big hitters, but because everybody who stepped up got the same encouragement. Be a batter, be a batter, be a batter. 10 years ago, when I gave this little pep talk, our objective was for everybody in our newly reformed church to participate in some way, to be a batter, to be a batter. And 100% of the people who attended made some kind of commitment, greater or lesser, of course, depending on our circumstances. I think in many ways we're at that point again, 10 years now further down the road, but all of us, each one of us, called to participate in some way. Now, how shall we do that? There's an old story about these three brothers whose father, very ill and near the end, called them into his room and said, when I die, as a gesture to indicate that you didn't love me because of my money, but because of myself, I'd like at the funeral for each of you to come forward and to put $10,000 into the casket with me. Well, they nodded agreeably. Sadly, the day came, the coffin was left over long enough for people to view and for the sons to come forward, and the first came forward with an envelope containing $10,000 and put it in, and the second son likewise, and the third son, who had always been something of a rebel, came slowly forward, put in a check for $30,000, and withdrew the envelopes. I say all that to say fair participation is when we all join together in the spirit of contribution. These are not easier times for people, for some especially hard. I remember the story of Bob Lupton, who ran a housing ministry in downtown Atlanta. One of my churches helped him over several years to build houses, a little bit like Habitat. And then the folks who would occupy these would come every month and make a payment toward the purchase of the house. Bob Lupton told this story. He said, we had put somebody in a house, nice folks. Everybody we served lived marginally. So this woman came one month and said, I'm not going to be able to pay this time because time's hard and I just can't come up with the money. And Bob Lupton said to her, well, that's okay. Do me one favor. And he looked out the window and he said, see that van down there? The woman who owns that van will be the next recipient of a house. If you would just walk down there and tap on the window and tell her and her three children who are living in that van that they'll need to wait another month because you don't have the money to pay, she'll be back the next day with the money. Hard times, but hard for everybody, and important for us, blessed as we are, to participate. I also encourage you to think farsightedly about participation. In the 10 years that we have been here, you have been generous. And I think about the Millers, Jimmy Miller, who never knew this congregation, but who, looking ahead, made a will. And when Marjorie passed away, that money came with the family, blessing us with their ongoing participation. Bill Maples, who died never having been married, estranged from his family, left half of what he was worth to the church for our ongoing work. And a tree grows in our side yard because we remember Bill and his gifts. Lillian Hollis was our hostess for many, many years. And when it looked like we would not have the money to build out the fellowship room we enjoy now, her family, all four of the children, came forward and provided the impetus for us to have that room and to enjoy it. And this afternoon, when a hospital group comes to talk about their hospice ministry, it's an example of how we, having been blessed, are able to share with others. I remember all those who participated along with Fran and Bob Lewis in the acquisition of the organ. So many ways that you have been generous and will be again. And now, a kind of call for family participation. I have been so grateful for you in your prayers about little Cecilia. who is back in the hospital again, a little child who was born very prematurely, for those of you who may not know, and who has struggled with one health issue after another, and came home and was home for a matter of a few weeks, and then called in again, seriously ill, and her parents with her now. There is the GoFundMe page for that family. And if you feel inclined, you can imagine young parents, both teachers, speaks for itself. And I will speak on behalf of our two Adams. The front of your bulletin, the handsome picture that Nancy did, shows on the tree apples. Both our Adams in the choir got lemons instead. Both cars failed. If you feel so inclined to make a contribution, there are funds gathering here at the church to help them with transportation. Now, having said something about full, fair, far-sighted, and family participation, let me say something about fruitful participation. If you look at the front of the bulletin, it is really self-explanatory, though preachers rarely ever let things go without a few words. The image here shows the fact that the institutional church itself is the trunk of the good work that we do in the community. You see there that the trunk reflects all of the costs it takes for the church to operate. In Christian education, to make repairs, to keep the building in good shape, to pay the staff for equipment and insurance, and for child care workers, and all those other things, they are necessary expenses, and we pay them gladly because of all we get from being able to come here, being together, worshiping God. And then beyond that, the fruit of the tree is what we share with others in God's name. My eye falls on Camp AIM. 2 weeks every summer, we cook meals for children who've been abused. We give money to the Emory Center, where we celebrate the inclusive nature of our community, led by Presbyterians over many years. There are Girl Scouts and the Red Cross and various and other worthwhile things. Drug court that Jack Partain helped to begin. Friendship House that we help along the way. You see there many, many efforts that we are able to do because we pool our resources and the mission committee directs where they shall go. That's how the church has always operated. How society operates. We are known by our fruits. And our church has always been generous in what it did in the community. Generous both with our dollars, but with our leadership. I look around the room and see so many people who have been involved in worthwhile efforts outside their occupations as a way of making Dalton a better place to live. Well, it's pretty much that simple. I would add that our giving over years, and you'll see some of this when your mailing arrives about the stewardship program, we'd be looking for a new pastor, and whoever she or he is, we'll look to see how is the church involved in the community. How do people there give to support the mission of the church inside the walls and beyond? And they'll know something of that story at the end of our stewardship season. Keep that in mind. We have a proud history and we'll respond again. I have every confidence. But it's important for people on the receiving end to know that there are Presbyterians who always keep them in mind. One of my favorite illustrations is from Scotland. A coal mine and miners inside, and there's an explosion. Who knows why? It just happens periodically in mines, and smoke billows out, and the village gathers as small villages do around the mouth of the mine. And when the soot slows down, they realize that somebody will have to go inside. And they wait awkwardly, as you might imagine. And then a man steps forward and says, "I will go inside, but you must hold the rope." In many ways, that's what we do. All of the individuals and the agencies here who day to day, face to face with poverty, we, when we are not involved in that way, hold the rope so that they can go down to see what the human need is and to try to meet it. That's what our stewardship is all about. In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Sometimes when we get to the affirmation of faith, it is routine. We do it most weeks in some form, but next week will be different. Or just before the affirmation of faith, Alex Andrews, our Harry Potter at the controls, having been with us for a year, will come forward and make his profession of faith and be baptized as a child of God. And then he will stand with us and we will say it, not as an employee, beloved as he is, but as a brother in Christ. Let us then affirm what we believe, the faith into which we invite Alex. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. For the world, yes, O God, but this week, especially for our church family, do we pray for NL and her family in the pain of loss of someone like Trammell, Mary Dover, as she tries to adjust in rehabilitation, for the Georges and their long vigil and his health need, for Coy and his struggle to adjust, and Knowles too, for Curtis and his loneliness, and Stan as his disability, and Kristen with all her complications. Lord, in your mercy for these, hear our prayer. For Sarah's uncle, for Becky, Jimmy O'Gwynn, for Comer Turley, Elizabeth, Tanja, Debbie, for all those known in the hearts of ours and beloved, we pray that your healing touch may be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. And in our community, we pray for Bill and his family, and Billy and her family, and Bill and Linda and theirs, for Bill and Arden, for Tom Phillips, Wilson Kennedy and his large family spread across Northwest Georgia, for all the people affected by COVID, but now so many things in the air, and not just for those who are sick, but their caregivers, aging parents, tender children. For all these we pray, Lord, in your mercy, and especially for the Passmores, for little Cecilia, every hour of every day, and those parents worn out in all of this, yet pressed to go on. We pray for them. Pray that Lucy may be spared these challenges. We pray for Kelly, giving thanks for her treatments, and Paula's likewise. We see your hand so many places, God. We pray for all your children who are exposed, saying, Lord, in your mercy. And God of all the earth, all people with all their needs, we lift now the prayer which Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We worship God now with our tithes and offerings.
Oh.
Let us pray. We thank you for this hour with you, God, and for the knowledge that you are with us in every hour. We thank you for the church family of which we are a part, and the openness with which we receive those who come to us. We pray in anticipation of the meal that is prepared for us, and likewise we pray that the business meeting which we conduct will be pleasing to you and will secure the future of the church by the harnessing of the talents of these three. For all good things, we give you thanks and praise, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Following the benediction, I do encourage you to be seated long enough for us to have our election, rejoicing in the fact that there has been no campaigning in advance. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace now and always. Amen. Thank you all for staying. Mr. Clerk, do we have a quorum present?
We do indeed.
Thank you very much. The purpose of this meeting is to elect three elders to serve as the session class 2023 through 2025, three-year terms. You see in your bulletin that the nominees are Laura Allgood, Leanna Granillo, and Susan Bisson. Laura and Leanna filled unexpired terms and are willing to go on and serve full terms, continuing their service. And Susan, who has been an elder before, has agreed to serve anew. I want to thank Alice Inslee, Mike Brown, and Peggy Rollins for their service as the Officer Nominating Committee, bringing forth these three good names. But in Presbyterian fashion, we take nominations from the floor. So the floor is now open if you wish to nominate someone else for service. It's been moved that the nominations be closed. Is there a second? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Then I would entertain a motion that these three be elected by acclamation. Is there such a motion? Moved and seconded. All in favor of the election of Laura, Leanna, and Susan, please say aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you all very much. If you, like I, are salivating, it was time to go upstairs. Let us close our meeting with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for the warmth of a home on a chilly day, and especially for the warmth of a church to be shared with good friends and good news and now good food. Nourish us for the week ahead. Prepare us to serve in the name of Jesus and to live in a way that attracts others to our congregation. This we ask in his name. Amen.